Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Armando Cervantes, who's the Director of Youth and Young Adults here at the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange. Armando, welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio.
Well, thank you, Rick, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's good to have you back. We've had you on before to talk about a number of things youth. But before we get started, I'd like you to lead us all in a brief word of prayer.
Wonderful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of having us together as a community. We pray in a special way, Lord, for our many young people, our young church, youth and young adults across not only our diocese, but our world. And in a special way, Lord, for those who really need you at this moment, for those suffering, for those hurting, for those that the church needs to reach out, as Pope Francis likes to call them, those on the margins. May your church be able to find ways to reach them, engage them, and invite them back into the loving arms of our church. We pray all this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Armando is here to talk a little bit about youth, but we've had you on before to talk about a number of things. And we were talking just a moment ago about how wonderful we talk. So we're going to have to be careful. We've got 12 minutes in this first section, and I guarantee we're going to probably be pushing the envelope on that. They'll be playing the music to get us off. But Armando, you've had some exciting things happening, both past tense and future tense, in regard to youth in our Diocese of Orange. So let's talk for a moment about some of the things that have gone on. We had a conference that happened not long ago that was really cool. Tell us a little bit about it.
We did, in fact. On April 8th, just recently, we had our third annual Orange Catholic Youth Conference, known very popularly as OCYC. And this OCYC, it's the third year we've done it. It was here on this campus, and it was 600 young people, as you can imagine, running around the Christ Cathedral campus, having a great time, eating lots of food, and connecting with their fellow young Catholic and young Catholic church from all across Orange County.
All right, so let me see if I can get this straight. So this was a conference that was held here on the campus. It's a beautiful campus. For anybody who doesn't know, this campus is absolutely gorgeous. It's got acres of green. It's got, of course, the beautiful Christ Cathedral that's there, formerly known a long time ago as the Crystal Cathedral, now as owned by the Diocese of Orange and is in the process of being renovated. Yet there's other buildings and things that are operating fully on campus, and we are able to put on some wonderful conferences. The facilities here are absolutely wonderful. I enjoy very much being on the eighth floor, being able to look out when I leave the studio and being able to survey it. And the venue, therefore, is very conducive, especially if you've taken advantage of the outside. So what was this conference then essentially focused on? Because you've got 600 kids. You've got to have a very clear focus in order they will cut you no mercy. Having been in high school ministry for a long time, you have to have everything focused. So what was this about?
Well, you know, we have a variety of objectives that we want to accomplish. And you who know teens, you know that we can't just sit them down and just talk to them for the next 8 hours. You got to find a variety of ways to engage them, and engage them we did. We had a whole day planned of keynote speakers, worship music. We had both bishops, Bishop Kevin and right. Bishop Timothy Fryer, joining us for the day so that they can get a chance to know our new bishop, and they get a chance to be with Bishop Kevin. So it's really a chance for them to see their church alive and for their shepherd to be present. I mean, a lot of times they might see the bishop when they get confirmed, or they might get lucky enough to see the bishop if he comes and visits at their parish. But this was a chance that the bishop comes for them, and to see that and to get energy from that, and not only from their shepherd, but then see other peers excited, singing, praising God. I mean, the energy was off the charts.
How many parishes do you know or do you think participated in this? How many parishes sent youth groups to be at the conference.
We probably had about a third to a half of our parishes present. Some obviously can't make it. You know, they have their own confirmation retreats, different activities. But those that were here brought a variety of kids. Some going through confirmation, some on their core teams, a variety. We had actually even a youth group coming from a juvenile hall. They got special permission to be here and spend time during the day, pray. I mean, they obviously had their certain number of chaperones and people watching them. But even those young men and women loved being here. I was talking to them during dinner time. We had a big vocations fair during dinner. So imagine 600 kids and another 50 nuns, brothers, sisters, Bishop Timothy Fryer walking around. They were having a great time. We ended up, had a DJ out there playing different songs. You had some sisters teaching the kids certain songs. You had teens teaching the sisters how to dance, the Cupid Shuffle. It was,
the Cupid Shuffle. I've not seen this one.
it was a wonderful day. We're going to have to get you to get on, hashtag OCYC to see all the videos and the, pictures.
That sounds wonderful. I'm especially intrigued that you were able to get even some of the kids that were in the juvenile hall to be able to come in. I know they have different levels of offenders, and at that lowest level, they are always looking for ways of trying to reintegrate these kids at a young time back into things that are hopeful. That says something very powerful about what this conference was really all about and how hopeful this would be for the people that participated. What kind of feedback did you get from the kids themselves about what they encountered and how valuable it was? Because they're usually pretty honest. You ask a kid what they really thought, someone who's 17, 14, 15, they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, we had no lack of people sharing what they thought. The theme for OCYC this year was United as One. And really this invitation that we're all united. Yes, you know, we're from different churches or from different places, or we love to wear our T-shirts that say Saint so-and-so. But at the end of the day, what unites us is not just that we have a certain parish affiliation. But Jesus Christ is what unites us. When we receive that Eucharist every Sunday, we are totally united. And that was really the comment that we heard from young people, that they love seeing another person of their age group just as excited about faith. That some of them, oh, I don't know, I wasn't that interested. But then when I got here, we actually had a good time. One of the workshops was a picture scavenger hunt. Using the campus. So, you know, make the OCYC with your bodies. Let's see if you can take a picture with one of our statues. Take a picture with a Bible scripture. So you had them running around campus. Take a picture with a religious. Take a picture with another group and get to know them. So you can imagine that some of their interactions is really what they remembered. I remember this young man, one of our keynote speakers was Jackie Francois, a local girl. Now kind of a national, international musician and speaker. She really challenged them, to really talk about real issues of their faith. And there was a moment that she said, does anybody need prayer? Anybody who wants to come up? And this young man, we were very proud of him. This young man steps up and says, you know, I have a hard time with faith, just believing sometimes. And in that moment, you had 300 kids extend their hands up to this young man and pray for his doubts, for his worries, for sometimes his lack of faith. And him especially during dinner said it was powerful. And no one had ever done that for me.
And there were probably another 300 in the audience that were praying for themselves the same prayer.
Most likely.
Yeah,
right.
It's amazing to see when you see other people from around a diocese, especially when you're young, it can be a very powerful thing to really realize in a visual form, in such an experiential form, how much larger the Catholic Church is just in our region beyond our parish.
Oh, yeah.
That when you go to something like this, you end up seeing hundreds of people, groups wearing this T-shirt or that T-shirt, so they're identified. That's from St. Christopher's or that's from St. whatever. And it's they look like me. They are my age. They might even flirt with me a little bit. But the bottom line is that they're out there, and the Catholic Church really is much bigger than what I sometimes imagine it to be in my own little parish. And it really is then a way to experience as the body of Christ. The body of Christ is huge. There's so much to do out there.
Yeah, and you know, it is crazy to see them even walk into, we were doing it in the gymnasium. We in this beautiful campus, we have an academy, a school, and they have a huge gymnasium, and they were gracious enough to let us borrow it and transform it to the worship space, the new liturgy space, the conference space, and lights, cameras, all of the wonderful things to kind of get their attention. And you would see them walk into this space and kind of look around. Oh my gosh. I mean, my church is so much bigger than my small group that I normally see every Wednesday night with 10, young people. You know, I'm in a sea of young people like me, so passionate. And you saw their eyes light up, or you saw them when our worship speaker invited them, or our worship singer said, "Hey, come on, whoever knows this song, come up to the stage and sing along with me." And all of a sudden you had kids who would come up, especially our extroverted young people. But now you have a group of people in front leading this worship song from different churches, and no one cares what church you're from. What we care about is praising our Lord.
Wow. That sounds like it was a wonderful event for the kids. What would you say were its biggest successes? What was the best things that you think that the kids got out of this time they spent there?
Two of the things that I really enjoyed and that we want to always keep improving. One was having bishops present. I don't think our young people see our clergy enough. They know their pastor, they know their priest, but, you know, I mean, I remember hearing even from my mom or from some of our older Catholics who would say, "Oh my gosh, I remember at school I would see." I mean, they would always remember knowing Sister so-and-so or Father so-and-so, even sometimes at their homes or visiting them. Our kids don't necessarily always get that. Father only shows up sometimes in the youth room because he's the pastor, he's busy. Bishop really only comes on special occasions. They never get a chance to see him. But having Bishop there celebrate Mass with them, taking a selfie with them. After Mass, he walked around and took some pictures. Bishop Tim, during the photo scavenger hunt, would say, "Here, let me help you. I'll make the O for OCYC, or let's axilly and take a picture." Seeing their shepherds in that light opens up a whole new world of who the church is and what the church is offering for them. That I loved. I want more of that. I want them to see what I see when I hang out and connect with our shepherds. There's so much beauty there and richness there that without it being said or spoken, there is something happening just for the mere presence.
I am so thrilled to hear how successful it was. When we come back, I want to be able to talk a little bit more about where we go from here, what's happening in our diocese. We've got some other things that are coming up.
Yes, indeed.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and with me today is Armando Cervantes, who's the Director of Youth and Young Adults for the Diocese of Orange. And we're talking about the events that are happening that are enhancing the lives of our youth in the diocese. So we'll continue with that when we come right back. And we're back here at high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, at Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. With me today is Armando Cervantes, and he is involved with the youth of our diocese, and we've been having a wonderful conversation about a conference that we just had, and we were talking during the break a little bit about the vocations. What was special about the vocations aspect of that conference?
You know, this probably happened from the very get-go. We figured, what can we do to really, really invite our young people to discern, to really think about religious life? I feel like in today's society, it's not valued to even think of, could you potentially be a father, a sister? What is that vocation that God is calling you? And so from the very beginning of OCYC, first, you know, the very first year, we started inviting religious orders, and it has grown every single year. So this year, during our dinner time, not only do they have a great dinner and a great dessert, but during that same time, we bring religious orders from all across Orange County so that they interact with our young people. You had Sisters of the Sacred Heart who were decorating t-shirts and brought a whole sleigh of sisters so that they can connect with as many young people as possible. You had others walking around and just taking selfies. Either way, that interaction was wonderful. You saw kids who had never even seen this many religious in one place. And we heard that more than once. But that was in and of itself exciting.
So you see black, blue, gray, blue, brown, gray, black, all over the place. Different little cassocks running around and different habits going on. It sounds like it was a lot of fun. But that's now gone and over.
That is indeed.
So they had a good time shortly before Easter, but you've got other stuff that are happening. Your office never sleeps. So I don't think they ever actually leave. They've got cots for you somewhere back in the back.
That's the only way we can engage, believe me, all young people.
So what's on tap for the future? What do we got going on in the Diocese of Orange coming up?
So we have a variety of things. I mean, normally, and you're right, we don't sleep. There's when it comes to youth and young adults, there is always something going on. Right now, we've been obviously speaking of high school youth. And even for high school youth, we try to have a variety of options so that at the parish level and at the diocesan level, there's always something going on. We have actually two leadership retreats coming up. We have one in Spanish at the end of this month, and we have one in June, at the end of June, in English. And these are leadership retreats. We try
now,
to do...
What do you mean by leadership? Leadership who? Youth leadership?
Youth leadership. Okay. So high school youth leadership. And we do it very purposefully for high school, for some of our high school students who are ready to take the next level, take the next step in leadership. And it's not just a leadership retreat where just youth and young adult puts it on. Alongside with our Institute for Pastoral Ministry office, which is our formation office of the diocese, we do a very intentional leadership retreat that starts giving them basic certification credits.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully we're making future catechists, future directors of youth ministry, future directors of faith formation through these leadership retreats by already giving them the tools, the knowledge, the know-how to become leaders in our church.
So let's delve a little more into that. What's the contact for that? Who should they get in contact with their youth leader, or who should they talk to if they want to go?
So in some parishes, a youth leader is very engaged, and they can go straight to their youth leader, and they would know who to contact. If they, for whatever reason, don't know their youth leader or their parish doesn't have one, they can contact directly the Youth and Young Adult Office in the Diocese of Orange, and they can connect straight with our office so that we can engage them. We don't turn anybody away. People who want to be engaged and involved and committed members of our diocese and of our churches, we want to inspire and connect them.
Okay, so that one's coming up for Spanish. The English one is coming up, you said, a little bit later on. When's that going to happen
again? It is. That is June 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Okay, what's
again,
that one?
All high school students are invited. Mostly who usually comes are sophomores, juniors, seniors. Usually they've kind of started to connect at their local parish, but already and are hungry for more. And that's where we take that extra energy and extra hunger, and we try to put some knowledge behind that.
Okay, so that's coming up not that long from now. When should they be in the process of registering?
Some are already registering. Some parishes register by groups. Some parishes kind of send the best of the best. Either way, we're always inviting our young people to be leaders in our church, and our church needs young leaders to be engaged. So they can, same thing, they can register directly with their youth minister at their parish, or they can call our diocesan office, and we would be happy to register them. Not only are we just saying, well, you know, you have to pay, you have to do this. If they, for whatever reason, the cost is prohibitive, we have scholarships available. We don't want to turn anyone away.
So how much, what's the cost on it, assuming that they're not getting any kind of help on it? What would they have to pay?
The cost is $40 for a weekend leadership retreat.
So you're talking 3 days for $40. That includes the food
that
as well.
Includes
that includes everything.
That includes sleeping. That includes not just the cot that we have in the youth ministry office, but an actual bed. And we'll be up at Santiago Retreat Center, which is our
All
local
right.
retreat center here in Orange County.
All right. So you have a 3 day retreat for $40. But some parishes will probably be helping to sponsor that, either partially or fully.
Some do, yes.
And
very, very supportive.
Some of the some diocesan funds would be available for other people who might not be able to get parishes to help contribute. And this would be an opportunity then for youth who've already been involved in something who want to take the next step and be involved even more.
That is correct. And so what we are hoping is these are young people who have already shown interest. Maybe they're already part of the core team. Maybe they're already volunteering at their parish. And now they're saying, well, you know, I'm all getting ready to graduate high school. Now what? Well, now what is let's start getting you better training, better formation, so that you can be a formed leader in our church, so that you can support in so many other ministries that our church needs you at.
As we are looking forward for the rest of the year, what else is usually planned? I don't want to nail you down a whole lot, because I know a lot of things are often having irons in the fire, but what kinds of things do you look forward to doing each year with the youth, or that you've got on tap that's going to be new this year that you might be able to talk a little bit about, as you've got it formed and it's beginning to percolate through? What's happening?
So one of our newest one, and it is our newest one and probably most exciting news, and registration is up. We're already getting registrations in, but on July 7th, 8th, and 9th, for the first time ever here in the Diocese of Orange, we will have what's called OC Steubenville. And there's a very popular Steubenville conferences all across the nation. It has always been here in California, in San Diego, but it has never made it all the way up to Orange County. And for the first time ever at UC Irvine, at the Bren Event Center, we will be having our very own Steubenville, Orange County.
Okay, let's talk for a moment about what Steubenville is. Franciscan University used to be a very small little college town along the Ohio River in a little place called Steubenville. It's kind of hilly. And if you've ever driven from southern Ohio into Pittsburgh, you have to drive right past it. So Steubenville, though, the Franciscans, really the last 40 years or so have put a lot of effort and energy to raising this into a national, even an international Catholic college, so that the University of Steubenville, it's now a university, not just a little college, has become world class. And we've got a number of people now that are on places like EWTN, which broadcasts out of this studio sometimes. And we have, in fact, right next door to us across this wall is the television studio for the West Coast EWTN affiliate. We have, for example, Scott Hahn is a resident academic at that school. And it's become huge in its outreach. So it started these little conferences. That's a little bit that I know about it. They started these conferences to get kids excited, not just about going to their school, but about Catholic ministry and Catholic education and where kids are going to be going. That's kind of the background that I understand a little bit about it. So they've had one in California for the last couple of years down in San Diego. And that's always been kind of a hardship because that's 60, 90 miles, depending upon where in Orange County you are.
That is true.
So what's this about?
Well, you know, the truth is Steubenville, as you were mentioning, has really perfected in some way this formula of engaging young people in a very, very exciting and engaging way. They started these conferences just at their main campus. It started as just a conference that they offered high school youth at their main campus. Now I believe there's 5 of those conferences at their main campus and 20 across the entire United States. And it's 3 days of music, speakers, confession, adoration, and they find a way to not only introduce adoration in a very charismatic way, they find a way to really bring those kids in, draw them into Christ in a way that no conference really has done.
It's really quite an experience. It's one of these all-encompassing youth Catholic encounters for kids. And really, one of the issues that goes on with it is what is your calling? What is God calling you to be? So for most kids, it's a pretty safe environment, safe meaning, okay, they're not going to force me to become a priest or a nun, but it's about where are you going to go with your life? What's Catholic? What's education all about? Are you going to college to get a job? Are you going to college to hone your mind and then eventually get a job, but that the first priority for your mind is to have it engaged? And that's really where they come from. That's where their renaissance really is.
Oh, yes, yes. And their speakers definitely follow that same kind of mindset and that same goal. This year's theme is Elevate, and they keep the same theme throughout all of their conferences. So we are following that same model. It's a Steubenville conference. It's just going to be down here in Orange County. And what we're hoping is that really it engages the local community much more. As you said, depending on where you are in Orange County, some people are able to afford the cost of a Steubenville conference. They're definitely not the cheapest of our conferences, but they have the state-of-the-art everything in order to engage those young teenage minds. But for that, it's obviously a costly endeavor for some of our young people. So what we try to do is, by offering it here in Orange County, we're hoping that it opens up to a lot of those parishes that always said, oh no, that bus expense, that extra cost, I have to drive all the way to San Diego. I'll just stay here locally. This hopefully will inspire some of our local parishes who never had a chance to experience a Steubenville to now experience it here.
If people are interested in the Steubenville experience, that's coming up soon. So who should they be contacting?
This Steubenville conference is being put on by an organization in San Diego called All for God. So they can go to allforgod.com or they can go to our website, which is orangeucatholic.com.
Orangeucatholic.com. And you can have that Steubenville experience. We're talking to Armando Cervantes, who is involved with youth ministry here in the Diocese of Orange. We've been talking about a number of things that are happening. I want to take a break and go into something a little bit different, Armando. I want to talk about you this next time coming up.
All right.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will be right back. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, at the Diocese of Orange. And with me today is the leader of youth in the Diocese of Orange, Armando Cervantes, and we're glad that you've been here. You've been talking a lot about all these different conferences and things that have been going on and are going to go on. We've got a leadership conference going on. We've got a Steubenville experience coming up. We've had conferences for the youth coming on. You should be exhausted. And if you're not, you will be. But, you know, I'm a little bit interested as well. You're a fairly young man. I mean, I've got gray in my beard. You can't see it. I've got a face that was made for radio. But anyway, bottom line is you're a fairly young man. How long have you been involved in youth ministry?
Say I'm young, but I think I'm really, really old, actually. I have now been in the youth ministry world for the last 16 years.
So how did you get started? Were you just a kid in the parish who was interested in doing something and got hooked or what?
You know, I'd like to blame my mom for that. I think she tricked me, to be quite honest with you, Rick. I think she said something about teaching her catechism classes and how they were so boring. And she said, I just don't get, you know, they're so boring. What would you do to make them better? And I said, oh, mom, let me tell you. I think you should do this.
Oh, famous
this and
last
this.
Words.
And she said, you know, how about you help me with that? And I think that did it. I think ever since I started helping her, it was a hook, line, and sinker. She got me really, really involved, and I have to thank her for that because it was really her engagement and really my parish at St. Angela Merici that really, really involved. Father Al Baca, he was a brand new young priest, kind of hooked me in as an altar server, as a lector, and before I knew it, I was getting involved in all these things. And before I knew it, I was just hooked. I loved it. And JP2, you know, St. John Paul II, during his my first World Youth Day experience in 2000.
Oh, you went?
I went. That was my first time kind of seeing the international church alive, and I have not looked back since.
See, I've heard people that have gone to that, and their life has been totally blown away and changed. They are able to look out and they see hundreds of thousands of young people all from across the world, all Catholic, all singing, all involved with each other, all being patient with each other. I mean, imagine that. That's one of the greatest miracles of the whole thing.
You've got
16-year-olds and 17-year-olds who are all trying to be kind to each other hundreds of thousands of ways. And it's just, it's mind-blowing to see that many people together. So is that what happened to you? Was this kind of an enhancement experience? What was that all about?
You know, I always was a volunteer at the church. I never was this young person, both in high school or in college, where I left the church or I left God and my faith and then I later came back. I was always involved. I always liked being connected, but I always thought this is my volunteer time. This is my volunteer and I'm doing school and I'm working a regular job, but you know, church is a volunteer place. And it was really after World Youth Day that, the youth minister at that time said, why aren't you more involved in church? And I said, I don't know. I mean, I'm volunteering, whatever I can do to help. And he said, no.
I'm already involved. What are you talking about?
He said, I want more. He said, I want more. And I'll never forget Paul Porver's words. I want more and God wants more from you. And from my experience,
how
I thought,
how do you say no to God?
I thought I was already giving more. I mean, I was going to college. I was working at Allstate Insurance and I was giving him the rest of my time. But Paul really challenged me and said, God wants more. And those words coupled with seeing that church alive and vibrant in Rome, how could I say no?
Did you ever think about the priesthood?
Of course I did.
Where did that go and why did that not go that direction for you?
You know, I prayed a lot about it. I went to enough discernment retreats. I went to like 4 discernment retreats, hoping that God would say, okay, this one's it. Let me check out the Benedictines. Maybe this one's it. Maybe the Franciscans. Maybe diocesan priesthood. Father Al Baca had me on all these VIP programs, vocations in progress. He was ready. You know, it wasn't.
He already had the oil reserve.
He did indeed. He did. I think Bishop Todd Brown, I think, said, we're ready for you. All you got to do is say yes. It just wasn't meant to be. It was one of those things that, I did. I asked. I was ready. I went to these retreats hoping that there was more and it wasn't where God was leading.
So you're a living example of someone who was called by God to do ministry, but not the priesthood, because you're clearly doing ministry today. You're at the diocesan level now, but you were at the parish level for a while.
I was.
And then have moved into you've been doing full-time ministry without being a priest.
That is correct. Full-time ministry in all aspects. I've been blessed now to do ministry not only at the diocesan level. I'm on regional committees. I've worked with USCCB, even with a religious order on the international level. And I've been blessed that in my experience, ministry is needed all over the place. And whether you're a priest consecrated to this or whether you're a layperson that needs to be committed just as much is so needed in our church.
See, that's something that I think a number of the kids that I used to work with in the Catholic high school that I served, for a while I was a campus minister, and one of the biggest comments that was made when we'd go to retreats or we'd put on retreats, you're not really going to put pressure on us to become priests, are you? No, God's the one who either calls you or not. And frankly, most people are not called to be a priest or a nun, but everyone is called to serve Christ in some way.
Amen to that.
The key is to find out how you're called to serve.
And correct.
That's where these conferences we were talking about before are so near and dear to my heart, is because they help kids clarify so they can comfortably say, I'm called by God to do X, Y, and Z. It might be toward priesthood because it's not clear yet. It might be toward being a lay minister,
yes, of
because
course.
It's not clear yet, but these retreats help us do that.
Oh yeah, and I think, you know, and I think that's the beauty, I think, of my experiences with World Youth Day or my experiences on retreats or on these discernment. It's opportunities to talk to God that we sometimes in our world is, that's so full of noise, that's so full of distractions. As much as we say, oh yeah, sure, we'll pray about it, we get so busy. We get so distracted in retreats. Conferences, opportunities to reflect and discern just gives us so many opportunities to really listen to that voice of God.
So for you, what was really the turning point? Was it because you had the experiences with all those millions of people at the Youth Day, or was it the direct talk with your priest who got you to say, no, I really do need to do more than what I'm doing?
You know, I say that God kind of placed different people in different events, kind of perfectly timed them.
Amazing how he does that sometimes.
He does. From my mom just having me to help her in her catechism class, to Father Al inviting me to be a lector. I mean, when I went to World Youth Day, I didn't even know what World Youth Day was. He said, Europe. And I said, I want to go to Europe. Let's go. I had no idea what I was saying yes to. When I said yes to Paul and I left Allstate and said yes to going to ministry full time, I didn't know what that meant. When Father Jerry called me and said, come to the diocesan offices, I didn't even know what I was saying yes to. But in some ways, you know, I mean, that's exactly where I think sometimes we forget just to trust in God. That I don't know. You know, some people say, well, what's next, Armando? Where are you going next?
I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
I'm not the navigator.
But the truth is, God's always been in control. So if I take control of it now, I'm not doing any service. I'll let God keep taking control because he's led this whole way. And I'm not about to start taking the wheel now when he knows the reasons why he's leading in those directions.
When you talk with youth, because I'm sure you talk with youth on a regular basis from the types of things that you do, what do you tell them? Do you share your story or do you talk to them with a set of comments? How do you evoke in them the desire to really seek out what God is calling them to do?
You know, it's always a combination. It's always a combination of my own experience and a combination of kind of what I know young people are going through today. I think there's always a need to make it your own and make it real from your own experience. I think young people sometimes relate with my experience and others say, well, no, you don't understand. You know, I don't think like you. I have never been involved in church. I don't even know where to start. So, I sometimes have to be very relatable. And so I'm a big believer of it's not the what, it's not the content that transforms, it's the who. I need to know them so well that it's in our conversation that the Holy Spirit becomes present and transformation truly happens.
I've got a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters that would talk about, you have to have a relationship with Jesus in order to be saved, a relationship with Jesus. That's absolutely true, but the way that God designed it was so that those relationships with Jesus start with relationships with other people.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where it's really all about,
oh, yeah,
is that the ministry we do is so one-on-one in the end.
Well, it's so crazy how community is just so important, right? I mean, our church is so much about community and communal prayer, and we miss that. We go to Mass and we say, okay, everybody quiet so I can pray. And I'm like, no, this isn't personal prayer time. This is communal prayer time. Like, let's celebrate the fact that we're in community, because what makes us stronger is this fact that we're community.
Yeah, I think that that's something that is experienced then very graphically in those conferences we were talking about.
Oh, yes,
that
indeed.
Those kids who were able to attend the youth conference back a couple weeks ago, they had an experience with 600 other people, some of whom they were able to get close to, some of whom they were already close to. And they also saw examples of people who were engaging in genuine relationship building. Mm. And that's a modeling thing. That's something that evokes in them an even deeper interest in how can I both engage that because I want that,
right?
But how can I also give that because it's infectious. You want to able to give what you've received.
Well, that's what I've kind of made my mission, right? How do I just go out there and just ask those questions and push those boundaries and ask them where they're going and how is God in their life and all of it? And whether they want to be an astronaut or they want to be in church, I've made it my mission to always engage because every single vocation that they do, God is always a part of it, whether it's in the church or outside the church. And just as much as I would love to see every young person as a minister in our churches, I need just as many out ministering the world as well, out in whatever job that is. So I have found ways to inspire and engage in my own little small way, where we're currently doing. If any of your listeners know any young adults discerning and thinking, is ministry, is a job in the church for me? We have a youth and young adult internship program during the summer.
Oh, wow.
Where young adults who are discerning if ministry's for them, they can call us up at the diocesan office and we can see if that's something that they'd like to do.
When we come back, I want to explore that a little bit more and I want to go back over what you would see would be the most important things that are coming up for youth to be able to engage like you were able to engage. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me is Armando Cervantes and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and today we've had the privilege of having Armando Cervantes back on the air with us. It really is a pleasure to have you on again.
Thank you, Rick.
We've had a chance to chat a little bit about some of the conferences, and I want to make sure we've had a chance before we end to review those couple of conferences coming up, like the Leadership Conference and what's going on with Steubenville. But you mentioned just before we left for break that you've got a very special program that you do now every year. In working with interns who might be discerning a call to do youth ministry, and this is an opportunity for them to actually engage in youth ministry, and they may decide at the end of it, hey, this was great, but not for me, or sign me up, I want to get going right away. What's this about? What do you do with these? What's this program of internship you're talking about?
So every summer we invite young adults, mostly those juniors, seniors in college, those graduating and kind of saying, now what? Now mm-hmm. what am I going to do with my life? Or now where am I going? And maybe they've discerned and said, I've always thought about being a youth minister. I've always thought at working at a church. This gives them the hands-on experience, the hands-on knowledge. What does that look like? And through our summer months from June through all the way till August, they get a chance to really engage in all aspects of the church, primarily youth and young adult ministry, since that's really where I'm based out of. But we do a really good job of inviting them to see the diocese as a whole, allowing them to truly reflect and discern throughout these 3 months with proper times to reflect and to pray and say, God, where are you leading me? So that, as you said, by the end of the 3 months, they're truly able to say, actually, I'm ready. And we, in fact, have current youth ministers who are graduates of that internship program.
That's fantastic. So this is a free internship, so they're not going to make money off of this.
Not at all, but unfortunately.
They're going to, in exchange for what they're going to give you time-wise, they're going to have exposure to a number of different aspects and purposely exposed to strategic aspects so they can have a better chance at doing discernment. What would an internship what would it look like?
So normally what happens is our young adults will usually commit to a minimum of about 10 hours a week. And so they get to choose their schedule. Obviously, some of them have work or summer classes, completely understandable. We can work around those. And so we do a scheduled plan for the rest of the summer, where it could be everything from the fun aspects of ministry, which everyone jumps to. Ooh, let's do a retreat. Oh, let's talk with young people. Oh, let's help with planning a big conference, to maybe the more mundane tasks of filing and organizing finances and calling bus companies. But the idea
making
is
sure everyone was life scanned who's supposed to be life scanned.
That is correct. Just as important.
It is.
But so that they truly get a balance of what a ministry job is like. And I try to tell them that. I'm not sugarcoating it here. I want you to see the real aspects of what this job would entail. So you go in with your eyes open and saying, Well, I always saw my youth minister just having fun. I didn't know there was all this office work to do. Well, guess what? All that fun had to be prepared, had to be worked on prior to. So yes, there is a combination. And just like we have time for administration, just like we have time for the event itself, we have time for praying, discerning, really seeing where God's leading in regards to a specific topic or a specific workshop, and giving them really the insight that they're looking for so that when they truly are discerning, they have everything at their disposal.
What's the size of this program? Do you have like a set number of slots, or is it kind of depending upon how many people apply and what you think you could put together? How do you decide?
It's always a combination. We've never really have a set number. I don't like to turn people away if they're interested. We always will find a place for them. But I really am looking for someone who truly is in that discernment phase. That someone who really is thinking, I want to do this, and I'm just not sure if this is it for me.
So like you, they may be interested in the priesthood or becoming a nun or a sister, but not necessarily so. Like you, they may simply have a desire to do ministry, but not necessarily offer the sacraments as a priest.
Exactly. And so this is a place where they can learn it, they can grow it and understand it more. You know, I've had interns or intern candidates who will call in and say, well, I really want to do this. And I said, okay, well, tell me about your experience at the parish. Have you volunteered at the parish? Oh, no, I've never done that. And I say, well, you know what? Before you jump to diocesan work, why don't you get a chance to experience volunteer work at your parish? I don't want just someone who just wants to do the high-end stuff, but doesn't know the bread and butter, what it's like to be at the parish level. My best years of learning were at the parish level. And if we don't have that context, then we can't understand the broader context. So I will send them back and say, how about you do some parish work in the summer, and next year you can come to the diocesan level. But we do our best to really journey with them, pray with them. And in some ways, they're almost like a youth group for me. We have a good time together. We take trips to the different places, Doris Kentley Center, Catholic Worker. Sometimes they're surprised. I didn't know our church did all this.
Yeah.
Our church is a wonderful church that does a lot of stuff. And we might not be good selling it or telling people everything that we do, but we are in constant motion trying to serve our brothers and sisters.
Well, you're very good at telling what the youth are doing in the Diocese of Orange. Thank you for doing that. So this program in internship, you've got 10, 12, 14 people that might come through.
Yes.
That you can then keep occupied in trying to get things for the summer for them to have a genuine experience of ministry. But you were talking earlier as well about high school age kids this summer being able to do the leadership formation. You said there were two of those. One's coming up right away, so that one may be too late, but that's the Spanish one, and they need to probably contact you at this point.
Yes,
directly.
At this point, if they want to go, we have last weekend of April, we're having our leadership retreat for our Hispanic youth and youth community, and they can definitely call our diocesan office or go to orangeucatholic.com. But also, they can also join us for the English leadership retreat, which is on June 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
And this is not too late for that one.
This is definitely not too late for that one. They can also sign up by calling their youth minister or calling us at the Diocese office directly.
And then for those that are interested in being involved with the Steubenville experience, first of all, what's the cost on that if they're interested? Because that's now in Orange County, so the transportation costs are going to be down for a lot of people. They don't necessarily have to stay at a hotel, so that's all down. Is there a cost, though, for the conference itself? I assume there is.
There is indeed. And actually, the conference, in you are paying for the conference in its entirety, which includes room and board. People have said, well, I don't want to stay there. I can just travel here and there. And you don't quite get the full experience, almost like a retreat. We don't want you to just leave and have a chance to say, well, you know, I'll just going out with my friends now and maybe I'll arrive late. We want you to get the full impact, full experience. So it's an all-inclusive meals, stay, and conference for $219.
Okay. So $219, you get 3 days of meals. You get to be able to stay there together. You get all the singing at night and bothering everybody in the hotel room. You get all of the masses. You get all of the experience of being involved with the Steubenville Conference.
That's right.
And it's right here in Orange, but you're kind of in your own little microcosm because you're hermetically sealed into this experience.
And you will be, and it will be a wonderful one to be hermetically sealed in.
Okay, so we've got these things that are coming up. As you're looking at kids that are, they're listening to this program and they're asking themselves, you know, I'd like to be more involved, but I'm not ready for an internship and not even in college yet. I'm not sure I want to go to a leadership conference. What would you recommend they do at the parish level in order to start getting involved with things that would excite them in ministry? If they're just now beginning, 16, 17, they're just now thinking about getting involved in helping out. What would you suggest they do as someone who used to be that age doing that thing?
So I would give them two suggestions. Suggestion number one is I would say connect at your parish. Your parish, whether they're very good at telling you or not, they want you there. They want you to be involved. They want you to feel connected. This is not their community that you're walking into. This is your community. So feel a part of your community.
That is so important to stress. A lot of our youth don't get that. This is about your community.
That's right.
Of which there are some of us old fogies that are there. We need you to keep us young. So, okay, so you go and talk. What's the second thing you said you were?
You know, the second thing is give us some ideas. You don't always just have to do what we have planned for you. I, as a youth minister, was very intentional about saying, okay, here's all the plans I have for you. But what am I missing? What would you like to see? What would you like us to do? Sometimes they have the insights that our church needs to engage better, but they think, well, I guess they don't just offer it at my church. Speak up. Say something. You are a leader in our church. When you got confirmed, there's these gifts that the Holy Spirit has just offered you, and you're ready to just use them. And a lot of times we say, oh, well, no, I'll just ask. What do you have here? Oh, nothing. Okay, thank you. Be the leader that God has put in you. Be that energy that God has already given you, and be that voice that God has given you so that you can transform with who you are. Sometimes our young people, when I ask, have the greatest ideas. And when I ask, well, why haven't you told anybody? I just don't know who to tell. Believe me, people want to hear. You know, find someone and share your story. Go find that youth minister, full-time, part-time volunteer. Jump in and say, I'll help. What do we need to do? Because I really would like to do this. Our church is excited for our young church. You should have seen Bishop Kevin Vann at OCYC telling our young people, right? You are the church. You're not the future. You are our church right now. So be that. Be our church right now and celebrate with us. Celebrate in all aspects, not just doing what we want, but being engaged in all aspects.
Take that planner that you hate because it has all your homework assignments in it and start putting in there all the events that are coming up at your parish level. Go talk to your youth minister and find out what's going on and then get involved.
That's right.
And ask.
That's right.
Well, Armando, I want to thank you so very much for coming in. Our listening audience, if you're interested, you're listening to Armando Cervantes, who is in charge of youth and young adults for the Diocese of Orange. Armando, would you lead us in a brief word of prayer?
Of course. Let us close in prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for this opportunity, Lord, to speak of our faith and of our love for you. We ask that you continue to inspire all of us in our various ministries, in our various lives, in our various situations. May you send your Holy Spirit and remove any barriers and any obstacles that keep us from you. And Mama Mary, we never forget to ask for your prayers in everything that we do. We pray all this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Armando Cervantes, who has been involved with youth. Thank you, Armando, for coming in.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
I'm Rick Howick, your host. And always remember that if you want to hear this show again, you can always catch us on the podcast at OC Catholic Radio. And you can tell a friend about it as well to go listen to the podcast on OCCatholicRadio.com.